pray for him. All right, Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. You know, I still just can't get over those young people this past Sunday saying those books of the Bible backwards. You know, I tell you, that's pretty impressive, actually. It really was. Lamentations chapter 3. Look, if you would, at verse 22. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keeps silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High. To subvert a man in his cause the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good? Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his own sins?" Now, in our opening verses here in Lamentations, the nation of Israel was in ruin after they had been taken into captivity. The city of Jerusalem was in shambles, and most of the people were either taken into Babylon in captive, or they had died. And in the midst of all this scenario, this horrible thing that was happening in Israel, and it was for their own sins. I mean, God had warned them and warned them and warned them, and then finally they went into captivity. But in the midst of this, Jeremiah, who we know as the weeping prophet, mainly because he wrote the book of Lamentations, he writes in verse 22, he said, "It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." He then says in verse 23, "They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness." But then he says in verse 39, and really this verse will be our text for tonight, he says, "Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins?" You know, it is in our nature to complain and to bellyache, amen? I mean, that's what we do. We all do it. And certainly, people have been doing it for a long time. You know, when you read the Old Testament, you think about Israel and how, you know, what a great example they are of how people just complain. No, it doesn't matter how good we have it. It just seems like we're never happy. We always complain about something. And if you remember, the children of Israel, they were back in the wilderness, they were traveling in the wilderness. They had been, delivered from bondage, and they were in the wilderness walking around. And really, that time period where they were in the wilderness traveling actually went from Exodus 13 all the way to Joshua chapter 4. That's when they entered into the promised land. Children of Israel, they wanted to be free from Pharaoh, and so God delivered them from Egypt. And as they were moving in the wilderness, even after they got, they got delivered from Egypt, and God had delivered them in a miraculous way, and they had seen the waters part, and they were able to go across, and they were able to see the water, wipe out the at that time the most powerful army on the planet. Still, they started to complain. It just seemed like they were never happy. They didn't think that they had enough food, and then God gave them manna from heaven. But they complained about the manna. Then God gave them the meat, and they complained that the meat had made them sick. And then the meat was, when the meat wasn't good enough for them, they complained it didn't have enough onions and garlic. They started to say they missed the onions and garlic back in Egypt. In fact, Numbers chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, they said, "We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." Now think about how good God had been to them when they were saying this. Think about the things that they had seen when they were saying this. Think about the food that God had been providing for them. I mean, you would think they'd say, "You know what? Yes, we're eating the same thing every day, but you know what? It's enough to keep us going. It's enough to keep us alive until we get where God wants us to go, and He has delivered us, and He will provide for us, and we should be thankful for this." Rather than saying that, all they could do was sit there and complain about the things that they had in Egypt. Really, what did they have in Egypt? They had bondage. Okay, that's what they had. But somehow or another, in their mind, they were thinking, "Boy, you know, it was kind of nice back there in Egypt to have all the fish and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks." And so they should have been on their knees thanking God every day for what they had. But they weren't. They were complaining. What right did the children of Israel have to complain about anything, if you think about it? I mean, they didn't have the right to complain about the food that they were eating. They were getting food. They were complaining about the water. They kept on saying, "We're going to die of thirst." But God still always provided them with everything they needed. They did not deserve any grace or mercy. They didn't even deserve to be delivered from Egypt. But God did deliver them from bondage. They did not deserve to be taken care of in the wilderness, but yet God took care of them in the wilderness. Do you realize one of the first things that Israel did after the Red Sea was parted and they came across there? You know what it was? They made that golden calf. And what's worse is they didn't just make the golden calf, they gave the golden calf credit for delivering them from Egypt. That's one of the first things they did. Do you know what they deserved? They deserved for God to wipe them out. And He would have had Moses not have stepped in and begged God to preserve them. And so rather than complain about the things that they didn't have, they should have been on their knees every day thanking God for the things He had done for them and about all the things He continued to do as He was getting them through the wilderness. They deserve nothing. And to tell you the truth, it's really no different with us today. It seems that we complain about everything when God has done so much for all of us. We complain, we bellyache, when really we should be on our knees every day and saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Lord, thank you for giving me the hope of heaven. Lord, thank you for everything that you have. Thank you, Lord, for getting me through every day." But you know, He's done so much for us. What right do we have to complain about anything when we should be constantly giving thanks? Now, tonight, I want us to think about this matter of complaining. And the first thing I want you to, whenever we get ready to complain, and which is often, if you're like me, I find myself constantly complaining about a lot of things. But before we actually complain about something, now I'm not saying that we shouldn't take a stand against things. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this: there's a difference between taking a stand against that which is evil and just flat complaining about everything. Would you agree with that tonight? Now listen, before we decide to complain about anything, there should be some things that we should ask ourselves before we start to complain. And one of those things that we should ask ourselves is this: what are we complaining about, really? What are we complaining about? Do you realize tonight that just about everything that we complain about is a byproduct of sin? Just about everything that we complain about is a byproduct of sin. Sin is the thorn and thistles in this life. And when we complain about how things are going in this country, when we complain about how things we complain about like dishonest politics, this senator's doing this, that president's doing that, you know, everything is related to sin in one way or the other. We complain about gas prices. We complain about the economy. Even, you know, I find myself often complaining about the bitter cold. You know, I was thinking this week, you know, it was in the 60s, and then all of a sudden Tuesday morning I looked out and there's snow all over the place. And you know what? Had I not been studying for this message, I would have complained right there on the spot. But the Lord spoke to me and told me not to complain. Amen. We do need the moisture. And God's got a reason for it all. But you know, even the bitter cold that we complain about is related to the sins of men. It is. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I don't think it was 30 below zero in the Garden of Eden. You say, well, what was it? Sin has messed up everything, folks. It's messed up the environment. It's messed up everything. And sometimes we don't understand that. It was a sin of men that caused it all. And you know, again, we should take a stand against sin. And we should call sin a sin. And we should need to tell others how to be saved from their sins. Only people getting saved is going to change anything in this country. It's the only thing that's going to change anything in this world. But far too often we complain about how this world is and how wicked people are acting. And sometimes that's because we have our eyes too much on this physical world. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. But I fear that a lot of Christians want this world to be their home. And so they complain about this world and how bad this world's getting. They complain about how the lost act. And when it simply, you know, when honestly they're just simply acting like lost people. That's what they're doing. They don't know any better. They, you know, we sometimes think that they're thinking like we're thinking. They're not, folks. And listen, if you've been saved for any amount of time and you've been studying your Bible, you think differently than the lost people of this world. Right. Listen, the lost people of this world, do you understand that they think that the way they're thinking is right? They think the way we're thinking is upside down. But yet we want them to act like us. It's never going to happen. Never going to happen. They don't have the compass of what's right and wrong. They don't have that. They don't understand the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They have no spiritual understanding. They're spiritually discerned. But we have these things. But yet we complain about how they're acting. I'll be honest with you. I'm more concerned about how Christians act today than I am really about how lost people act. Because at least I could say a lost person doesn't know that which is right or wrong. A lost person doesn't have the Bible, doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God within them. But a saved person does. And I'm just going to tell you, sometimes we complain about this person acting this way, or that person said this, or that person right there is dishonest. Have you ever thought for a second that maybe they're not saved? And they're not thinking like we are? We complain about people. We complain about how the world is. You know what 1 John 2:16 says? 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." That means everything in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the way it's always been, and that's the way it's going to be, folks. And we can complain about this world and say, look how wicked it is. Yes, the Bible already told you everything in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. There's nothing good in this world. This world is enmity with God. And the love of this world, you can't love both. You either love the one or you hate the other. This world will only get worse. It will not get better. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So consider that. The first question that we need to ask ourselves before we complain is exactly what are we complaining about? Are we complaining about lost people? Are we complaining about the wickedness of this world and how dishonest people are and how people make laws and rules that are wicked? We should take a stand against those things. But you can't complain about it. Can't complain about it. Why? It's not going to change anything. Do you understand this world is going towards an end? And everything's been prophesied that it would go a certain way. Now, I do believe that God will spare countries that he would have destroyed a long time ago. I personally think he spared the United States for a couple of reasons. One, we have a lot of missionaries that are going all over the world and preaching the gospel. Two, we have a few praying people that still pray for this country. Three, we're still on the side of Israel, at least for now. And because of that, I think that God has spared us. I think if it hadn't been for those things, we'd have been done a long time ago, to be honest with you. But he spared us. But that doesn't mean that the whole world is still going towards an end. And you say, what end is it? Well, Jesus Christ is going to be on the throne, and then after 1,000 years of being on the throne, this world isn't going to be here anymore. Everything we see is going to be on fire. Everything we see is going to be destroyed. All the temporal things and only that which is spiritual will last forever. And so the whole world is heading this way. And listen, the best thing we do is rather than complain about it, we need to thank God that he allows us to live in another day, that allows us to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ, that he gives us strength to get through day to day. That's what we need to do, and we need to pray that the people get saved, but not complain about it. I tell you what I see. I see a lot of Christians doing more complaining about lost people than they are witnessing to lost people. They're never going to change unless they get saved, folks. So rather than complain about them or complain about this world, let's go witness to them. And understand this world is not our home. So the first question we need to ask ourselves before we decide to complain is, well, exactly what are we complaining about? Second thing we need to ask ourselves before we decide to complain is this. Who are we complaining? Who are we to complain? Sometimes when we complain because we don't think that we get what we deserve. Sometimes we think we get a bum rap. We complain about our circumstances in life as Christians. We complain about our jobs. We complain about the suffering in this life. One thing's for sure in this life, we will suffer, so we're bound to have to have our fill of complaints. But who are we really to complain? I mean, if you really think about it, who are we really to complain about anything? I mean, the same way we could talk about the children of Israel, it's real easy to look at the children of Israel and say, boy, I tell you what, those people, they're crazy. I mean, they should have followed the Lord. They had all the advantages. I mean, they had God protect them. I can't believe they would complain. Well, what have they done that we haven't? I mean, if you think about it, we actually have more than what they had? They had God leading them. They had God delivering them. But none of them had the Holy Spirit of God sealing them until the day of redemption. None of them had a completed Bible. None of them had that. We've got that. But yet, we still complain as much or more than they ever did. But yet, we're always talking about how bad the children of Israel were. Who are we really to complain about anything? I mean, at the end of the day, you know what we all are? We're all sinners. We're all sinners. And we have not gotten what we deserve. We all deserve hell and death. That's what we deserve. When we get sick, it's because of sin that has taken a toll on our health. The pain that we experience, it's ultimately because of our sin. When we complain about our jobs, we need to remember that us even having to go to work at a job is because in Genesis 3:19 it says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground." That's just the way it is. God didn't intend for any of these things that we go through. He didn't intend for any of us to go through these things. He didn't intend for there to be sickness or fatigue or sadness or pain. He didn't intend for us to ever be thirsty or hungry or unhealthy. God did not intend for anyone to be spiritually dead, nor did he intend for us to do wicked things. And even the end of every man, which is physical death, God never intended for man to ever face that. It was man's sin that brought all of those things. Everything we complain about today is a direct result of sin. But the ultimate consequence of sin is death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Because of sin we suffer. Because of sin we die. So the complaining will continue until all the sin is removed. Now, here's what it says in Revelation 21:4. Now, Revelation 21:4 actually tells you that one of these days the sin is going to be removed. And it says that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And one of those things that's passed away is sin. Now, that day is coming, but it's not here yet. In that day, God's going to wipe away all the pain and suffering and the tears. There'll be no more heartaches because there'll be no more sin. In that day, God will make an end of sins. That's why he can say that there'll be no more suffering. So Jeremiah says here in verse 39 of our text, he says, "Wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins?" He's saying, why in the world are you complaining? Why is a living man complaining for the punishment of sin? The wage of sin is death, and here's a living man complaining about it, and yet he's alive. Because we're physically alive, we should not be complaining. If you're breathing today and as a Christian, we shouldn't be complaining about anything. Because we are spiritually alive today. We shouldn't be complaining. Because we all deserve death, and it's only by God's grace and mercy that we're alive today physically, and only by His grace and mercy that we're alive spiritually today. Amen. The problem is that many Christians today don't think about these things before they start complaining, because they've forgotten that the wages of sin is death, and they've forgotten that all of us really deserve death, and so they complain. But have you ever noticed, now this is going to sound silly, but I want you to think about this for a second. Have you ever noticed that really the only people that have a right to complain about anything are dead people? I mean, think about this. A person who died, he's worked his entire life, he's saved up money, and then all of a sudden he dies and somebody else gets to spend it. And more than likely, the person that he leaves it to is going to waste it. Now, that's something you can complain about. You know, I mean, a person blessed with his possessions, and then all of a sudden he leaves it to somebody, and sometimes it's the people he don't even know gets it. Or how about he's worked hard all of his life, he's gotten friends, people knew him very well, and all of a sudden he dies and nobody ever remembers him again. Maybe that's something to complain about. Now, Solomon spoke about this. Solomon spoke about this in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. You would think that the only ones who would have a decent reason to complain would be the dead. And even Solomon here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, he spoke about how the dead have a legitimate case to complain. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, look if you would at verse 3. He says, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. After that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." You know what he's saying right there? He's saying this. He's saying that death is final. When it comes to physical death, it's final. On this side of eternity, it's a final thing. Once you die, you're never going to come back. Once you die, you're never going to get a second chance. Once you die, listen, if a person is unsaved today and he dies, that's it, folks. There are no do-overs. There's no second chances. He will never again have a portion with the living on this side of eternity. There's no hope for them. There's no chance of them straightening up and starting to live right or turning over a new leaf. If they're lost, then they die and they stay lost. There's no chance of them getting saved. It is over for them. But that's not true for us. That's not true for a person that's living today. A person that's living today can still change. A person that's living today can still get right with God. A lost person today that's still living, that lost person can still get saved today. Yet, only the living complain. Lamentations 3:22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." We have life by the grace of God and the mercy of God, and yet it is the living that complains and not the dead. Let me ask you, do you think those people in hell today, do you think that if they could come back, they can't, okay, it's over for them. But do you think if they could come back to the land of the living, do you think they would complain about the gas prices? Do you think they would complain about the leadership or the dishonesty of senators and Congress? If they could just get out of hell just long enough to get a second chance to get saved, folks, let me tell you something. They wouldn't be complaining about anything. The dead, listen, here we are, we're saved. we're born again. We're alive spiritually. We're alive physically. Now, one of these days we're going to die, but right now we're alive. I remember one time I called somebody. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He goes, "Well, I'm blessed. I'm still alive." Amen. That is a blessing. You're able to walk around. You're able to do things. Now, listen, we're all looking forward to going to heaven one of these days, but you know what? It's good to be alive. Listen, if you woke up this morning, which I'm looking at you, and obviously you did, but if you woke up this morning alive, then you've been blessed. I wouldn't complain about that a whole lot. I wouldn't complain about things a whole lot. And I'll tell you this, if you're born again tonight, you're certainly blessed. I mean, really, who are we to complain? Who are we to complain? We complain, even though sometimes they say, well, you know, can we complain if our physical life is cut short? No, not really, because really, if you consider it, you know, considering that we deserve death for our sins, we couldn't even complain about that. When we complain, we've forgotten what we deserve. We've forgotten what has been done for us by the grace of God. And not only that, but many Christians have also forgotten that we have eternity in heaven coming. Turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, Paul wrote Romans chapter 8, and I'm one of those people who actually believe, I believe, I can't prove it, but I believe that after Paul was stoned in Lystra, and he got to go up to that third heaven and see paradise, and then he come back, you kind of see more of a boldness in Paul. I mean, Paul was doing things knowing that he was probably getting killed. You know what I think? I think he's saying, that's fine with me. I'm ready to go back home. You know what I'm saying? But in Romans chapter 8, look at verse 18. It says, Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creature was made manifest to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the spirits, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." So as Christians, we go through pain and suffering in this life, but that pain and suffering is nothing compared to what God has planned for us in eternity. We have such a great, such a wonderful hope. We have such a wonderful future. So much so that Paul said this in Philippians 1:23. He says, "I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." He's saying, I want to be with you, but I also want to be with Christ, which is far better. The sad truth is that many Christians today complain more than lost people complain. And we have so much more to look forward to. A lost person doesn't have anything to look forward to, folks. I mean, think about it. This is the best it's going to get for a lost person. But this is not the best it's going to get for us. Rather than complaining, we need to think about where we're going to be one of these days. Rather than complaining about things and trying to make this world heaven, it's never going to be heaven. We're going to be in that city. We're going to be over there. We're going to get to live forever. Jeremiah says in verse 39 of our text, he says, "Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins?" Who are we to complain? Considering that we're sinners, considering we deserve death, considering that we're going to be in heaven one of these days, considering that we're spiritually alive and physically alive, and children of God, who are we to complain? And then the third thing we need to consider is this: why God allows things that we complain about. Why does God allow the things we complain about? Now, we know that God allows suffering for many reasons. I mean, we know that sometimes suffering is a result of Him chastening His children. Sometimes we're going to suffer with that. Sometimes we know that suffering is allowed because, well, sin's in the world. And if there's sin in the world, I mean, we're all sinners, and so there's going to be things associated with sin that we're going to have to go through. The pain, the suffering, the death, the sadness, all those things. Certainly God's going to allow those things. But you ever think that sometimes God allows us to suffer just to keep us uncomfortable here? Just to get us maybe not wanting to stay here, but maybe want to be with Him. I'll tell you the reason I say that. You know what we do? And I do it all the time. I mean, all the time I do this. But I'll see something that's wrong on this earth or in this world, and I see the things that's going on, and I'll say, boy, isn't it going to be nice when the Lord comes back. Now, you know, when you start to see how politics work and you start to see how, you know, how things are going in this country, whether it be wicked laws or whatever, I mean, especially during the last election, I mentioned from here at the pulpit, I said, isn't it going to be great when the Lord is ruling and reigning and we don't have to worry about all the political ads? Because once the Lord's ruling and reigning, it doesn't matter who runs. The Lord's going to be the boss. He's going to be sitting on the throne. Amen? But notice that when we saw things start to go bad, what do? We have a tendency to not want to be here anymore, and we start looking for the Lord to come. That's what we do. That's what we should do. And you know, if you read your Bible all the way through, the Lord has a way, when people start to forget about Him, He starts to show you just how bad this world can really be, to get your eyes back on Him. That's what He does. And you know, when we start to see things go wrong in our lives and we start to see the heat start to be turned up, you know what that does? That gets us looking towards Him. So it gets us looking forward to His coming. That's what it does. And so the Lord allows us to go through these things. Rather than complain about it, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Rather than bellyaching about how wicked things are, listen, we know the world is wicked, and it's going to get more wicked. But there's a day coming when none of that will ever come our way again. There's a day coming when there will be no wickedness. There will be no sin. There will be no wicked thoughts. We will not have this flesh on us anymore. We'll have a new sinless flesh that will live forever. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord, where in Him there is no darkness. It's only light. That's where we're going to be. And sometimes when we see the wicked things going on, we start to look that way. Why? That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be looking for His appearing. So I don't think He's going to turn down the heat much. He doesn't want us to get comfortable in this world. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't want to get comfortable in this world. But I also think that there are some Christians who may be starting to get comfortable in this world. And they start to complain because this world isn't the way that they want it to be. I'm just going to tell you, folks, if you're living right and you're reading your Bible and you're out there serving the Lord, you're going to notice that you're not going to have much in common with this world at all. And you're not going to notice any part of it getting better. You're going to see it get worse and worse and worse. You'll be able to see it. But I always wonder about Christians that were complaining about this world and how wicked it is. It's almost like they want to change it to where it's comfortable, to where they might want to stay. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. In this world, we may be persecuted for living a Christian life. We'll go through the same bad times as lost people go through. Sometimes we may go through worse times than lost people will. But how can we complain, really? This world is not our home. It's not all there is. Fact is, we deserve death, but only by God's grace do we have life. Fact is, this world is wicked, and it is enmity with God. And it's not our home. It's not going to get better. People aren't going to get better. Why are we complaining? In this life, there's pains and discomforts, and we're bothered by the cold, and we experience the pain of heat. But God gives us just a short time. I mean, if you really think about it, the time here is so short compared to eternity. And rather than complaining, we need to be out there and telling as many people about the Lord Jesus Christ as we possibly can. Get them to come to church as much as we can. Yes, you're going to wake up and you're going to have body pains. You're going to get sick. We're going to grow old. We're going to die. All these things are going to happen because it happens to everybody because of sin. But the Lord's saying, listen, wouldn't it have been nice if the Lord had taken us home the moment He saved us? I mean, I often think about that. I was like, man, I wish the moment He saved us, He could have taken us home. But He didn't. He left us here for a reason. Not to sit there and just turn up the heat on us and watch us complain. No, He put us here for a reason. We're supposed to be doing something for Him. We're supposed to be serving Him. We're supposed to be taking what He's given us and giving it to others, so that way when He comes back, there's usury on it. There's interest on it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. He did not leave us here to complain about how things are. In fact, He left us here so that people could see the hope in us. They might have ask a reason why there's hope in us when they see the way we're acting. Let me ask you something. What do you think the lost world is thinking when we're complaining about everything? They don't see the hope in us, but I'll tell you what, when things are going really bad and we got that smile on our face and that confident look on our face, and people look at us and say, man, how in the world could you be, how could you have hope with things like this in this world? And then you're able to say, well, let me tell you about my Savior, Jesus Christ. Sure beats complaining, doesn't it? Why do we complain? I do it all the time. But maybe we ought to complain a little less and be thankful a little more. Amen? All right, let's stop there. We'll actually look at that maybe more next week.